So I'll read a couple of verses. I'll read from the 10th canto, chapter 9, Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. And I'll read verses 18, 19, 20, and 21. Swamatu Swinagatraya. Visrasa Kavarasraja Drishva Parishramam Krishna Kripayasit Swabandhane. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Evam sandarshita hyanga harina vritya vashyata sovashe napi krishnena yasyedam seshvaram vashe. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Of course, the Lord has many transcendental attributes, actually an unlimited number, but this particular transcendental attribute, vritya vashyata, coming under the control of his vritya, of his servants, this is particularly important and particularly beautiful, particularly wonderful aspect of the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Neimam virincho nabhavo nashirapyanga samshaya prasadam levire gopi yattas prapa vimukhidat. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Nayam Sukapo Bhagava Deinam Gopikasta Gyaninam Chatma Bhutanam Yada Bhakti Matam Iha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the soul. So let us read the purport of this verse. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda, is very easily available to devotees, but not to tapasvis, yogis, jnanis, and others who have a bodily concept of life. Although they may sometimes be called chanta bhaktis, real bhakti begins with dasya rasa. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 11, Yehitaman Prabhupada comes to Taiva Vijamyaham. Mamabat Maru Varsante Manushya Pavva Sarvasha. As living entities surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Everyone is seeking Krishna, for he is the super soul of all individual souls. Everyone loves his body and wants to protect it, because he is within the body as the soul. And everyone loves the soul, because the soul is part and parcel of the super soul. Therefore, everyone is actually seeking to achieve happiness by reviving his relationship with the super soul. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, verse 15, by all the Vedas, it is I who am to be known. Therefore the Karmis, Jnanis, Yogis, and saintly persons are all seeking Krishna. But by following in the footsteps of devotees who are in a direct relationship with Krishna, especially the inhabitants of Vrindavan, one can reach the supreme position of associating with Krishna. As it is said, Vrindavanam Mrityaja Paramekam Nagachati. Krishna does not leave Vrindavan even for a moment. The Vrindavan Vasis, Mother Yashoda, Krishna's friends, and Krishna's conjugal lovers, the younger gopis with whom he dances, have very intimate relationships with Krishna. And if one follows in the footsteps of these devotees, Krishna is available. Although the Nitya Siddha expansions of Krishna always remain with Krishna, if those engaged in sadhana siddhi follow in the footsteps of Krishna's Nitya Siddha associates, such sadhana siddhas also can easily attain Krishna without difficulty. But there are those who are attached to bodily concepts of life. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, for example, have very prestigious positions, and thus they have the sense of being very exalted Ishvaras. In other words, because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are guna avatars and have exalted positions, they have some small sense of being like Krishna. But the pure devotees who inhabit Vrindavan do not possess any bodily conception. They are fully dedicated to the service of the Lord in sublime affection, prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore recommended prema pumarto maha. The highest perfection of life is prema, pure love in relationship with Krishna. And Mother Yashoda appears to be the topmost of devotees who have attained this perfection. I'll read that last verse again. Nayam sukapo bhagavan deinam gopika sukam jnaninam chatmabhutanam yata bhakti matam iha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 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 Shri Cha Just bowed out But we visited so many very nice places, even some places I've never been before. Kedana, I've never been before. Badrinath, which I'd only been to. A couple of times I've been to Badrinath. A couple of other places I hadn't been too much. So it was very interesting. Very nice. And the last place, on Thursday, just 48 hours ago, more or less, the last place we were at was this place of the Damodar Leela in Gokula Mahabad, southeast of Braj Nandbar, just southeast of Mathura. And yes, we were in that area. And so we were remembering this pastime. What a special pastime. Such a special pastime of Mother Yashoda binding Krishna with rope. It's so special, it has so much significance that it is observed for the whole month. Other things like Krishna's appearance stage and Janmashtami and so on and so forth, the other important occasions that we observe, then we observe them for a day, maybe 2 days, something like that. But this Damodar Leela, we observe for the whole month. Every day we're observing it by offering lamps to Yashoda Damodar. So it really is extremely significant, because as we read, Krishna is Britya Vashyata. It means he comes under the control of his Britya, his servants. Usually the master does not come under the control of the servant, but it is always the other way around. Otherwise, the servant has become the master. But in this case, Krishna's Vritya Vashyata, he becomes controlled by his servants. And they remain his servants. They don't then become proud and think, yes, just see, I asked Krishna to do this, he didn't. Ha, just see, I am become very great. No, they remain his servants. And even when the devotees see how Krishna is reciprocating with them and responding in so many ways, and even responding far beyond the extent to which the devotees are serving, the value, you could say, of the service, that Krishna is reciprocating with far greater value, then, not that the devotees become proud, as we said, and start thinking that, you know, patting themselves on the back, congratulating themselves, but they become inspired to serve Krishna more, because they appreciate, what a wonderful master I have. What a wonderful master. I did a little. He responded by giving a lot. I didn't deserve it at all. What a wonderful master. And then the devotee understands that if I serve Krishna more, then he will give even more. And if I try to give Krishna everything, at least everything that I have, then he may give me everything that he has. Baladev Vijayabhusha makes this comment to one verse in Bhagavad Gita that the devotee is trying to serve the Lord heart and soul as much as he or she can. And Krishna, seeing this, Krishna becomes very pleased, and that mood of vritya vashyata arises in his heart, that desire to reciprocate and to give himself. So Baladeva Jivusha says that Krishna says that my devotee, when my devotee is serving me like this and giving everything and doing everything without reservation, simply heart and soul, life and soul, everything dedicated for my pleasure, then even though I am God and I am everything and I possess everything, and I, even though I am Sarvajna, even though I know everything, but still I cannot understand how much my devotee loves me. So therefore I reciprocate in the same way. I reciprocate unlimitedly. So when the devotees see how Krishna is reciprocating and beyond the value of whatever we may be offering, then this is a great source of inspiration for the devotees to develop their service more and more, to do more, and to do more in a more pure mood, without expectations of reward and so on like that. Because generally in religion, people perform some religious program. They take some vow. The Tamil people and others, isn't it? They perform kavadi. And they say, I will carry the kavadi for 3 years. And then I expect something. This is in their mind. I expect a new motor car. Or something like this. So a devotee, new devotee may think, I will chant Hare Krishna for 1 month, 16 rounds a day, and I will see what I get. And if I get enough, then I will continue. If Krishna does not give much, then, well, I'll think about it. I'll see where to go. But the mood should be, Mother Yashoda's mood is one of completely selfless, pure love. This is a very beautiful chapter where there's very nice description of Mother Yashoda churning the yogurt into butter. And she has this churning rod. And usually they attach rope to it. You may, if you were at the Drakensberg retreat in January, you would have experienced that. We churned some yogurt into it, sort of halfway into that situation. That's how it's done anyway. The thing spins around as you pull the rope, which is twined around it, and gradually the yogurt transforms into butter. So, Mother Yashoda was doing that, and there were two sounds, kind of rhythmic sounds. One was the stick, as she was pulling back and forth on this string, on this rope, then the wooden rod was moving back and forth and hitting the sides and bouncing on the bottom rhythmically. So Aracharya's comment. Anyway, I'll tell you what Aracharya's comment shortly. And then the other sound was her bangles. They were clinking and chinking and tinkling rhythmically also in as she was moving her arms rhythmically. So our acharyas say that the deeper sound of the rod hitting the pot as it's moving in different ways, rhythmically hitting the pot, this is like the sound of the mridanga in kirtan. And the bangles jingling and tinkling, this is like the sound of the kartal. And Mother Yashoda, as this was all going on, what was she doing? She wasn't, you know, just silent. Sometimes when we're doing some difficult, well, like physically a little taxing service, some heavy work in Krishna consciousness, then we get absorbed in doing the work and we look at what we're doing and our mind is absorbed and we're thinking about doing it, but somehow we are not chanting. Our attention is just absorbed in the work, in the service. But Mother Yashoda, in fact, it's described here, as she was churning and the rod was thumping and bumping rhythmically and her bangles were ringing and tinkling and jingling, she was singing songs about Krishna, Krishna's childhood pastimes. Because after all, this is early on. This is early on. Krishna is only about 3. They're still in Gokula, Mahava. They have not moved yet. They moved twice. First of all, to where Vrindavan town is, then to Nandagram. They had not moved yet. When they moved the first time, Krishna was not even 4 years old, just 3 years and something. So she was singing these beautiful songs about Krishna's pastimes. You know, in those days, they did not have hit parades. They did not have Bollywood movies with all their happy, happy theme songs. And so on. They didn't have radio, they didn't have CDs, they didn't have, what is it, iPod, iTunes, downloadable, or CDs, audio DVDs, or any DVDs at all. Neither did they have television, they didn't even have radio. So what did they sing? We all know in Indian communities, well, in different communities around the world, like India, there are Indian communities in so many places around the world. And what do they all sing? Well, among other things, they all sing Bollywood songs. And I told myself, I must check what is the latest top of the pops Bollywood movie, but I somehow it slipped my mind. So I don't know if you can tell me what is the latest. What is the latest?
Where's the party
tonight? Time for
going
out. Is that a Hindi song? Kabadi ka. Okay, very good. So what did they sing? It was all very localized. And they would sing about things that were happening in their world. and their aliens. And what was happening in the Gokula Mahavan area? That was the childhood pastimes of Krishna. So Prabhupada explains in one of the purports that what they would do was they would think, well, not think, they would observe and they would share with Krishna so many pastimes and incidents, and so many things were happening. And then there was someone who was a poet, someone who was good with words and he could put things together nicely in a poetic form, rhyming, rhythmic. So they would give this person, they would explain about those pastimes and things. That person would then put it into poetic form. And so they then, in the village, they would take those poems and sing them. And this was their top of the pops. This was what they were doing. And this is what Mother Yashoda is doing, actually. She was singing songs about some pastimes which she had experienced, and some friend who was a good poet had made it to nice rhyming poetry, and she was singing that to the accompaniment of the sound, that sound of the rod hitting the pot, the mridanga, and the tinkling of the bangle, the kartal, and it was sankirtan. This was Brijbasi sankirtan. Yes. Just like when Krishna plays his flute, then when he's out herding the cows, then he plays one note and one cow recognizes in that note, one cow hears her name. Then Krishna plays just momentarily, just like that, another little different note, and another cow recognizes her name. And what do they do when they recognize their name? They move in response. So there is flute move, flute move, flute move. And this is just going on all afternoon. And again, our acharyas say that this is also sankirtan. Gomata Sankirtan. Yes. They were reciprocating responsively back and forth between them and Krishna. So, yes. So there was this beautiful Sankirtan going on. And it was actually like that. There was actually a rhythm to it with all these different sounds. And there's a very nice description of Mother Yashoda. What color sari was she wearing? Now, of course, some of you looked at the picture. She was wearing a yellow sari. Yeah. And she's a mother. So, you know, not that like she's sort of heavily built, but the body is a little fuller in size, like that. And she's moving very rhythmically. Her whole body is moving very rhythmically and very beautifully with the sankirtan going on. There are flowers in her hair, and sometimes some of them come falling down very beautifully. So it's a very captivating scene, really very beautiful and very heartwarming scene. And of course her whole idea, as you may know, the whole idea, well not the whole idea, but a very important part of the idea was that Mother Yashoda was feeling concerned about Krishna's developing habit that Krishna was getting more and more into stealing butter. And she was becoming more and more concerned about this. So Mother Yashoda, what she did, from the herd of cows, another Maharaj, 900,000, she chose a few cows who were the best, gave the best milk. Then she went around Vrajnandana and found the places where the best grass was growing. And she personally cut it by hand and brought it back and fed it by hand to those best cows. And then she milked them herself by hand. And then she took that milk and made it into yogurt and then churned that yogurt herself into butter. Because she knew Krishna has a thing about butter. He just has, like, it's becoming a major preoccupation with butter. And it's even going to the point where he goes anywhere to get butter. And wherever he goes, he wants butter. And he tries to take it. So she was concerned that she didn't want Krishna to grow up and to be a bad boy. You know, every parent is concerned for their child, at least every good parent is very, very concerned that they want their child to grow up to be a good person and, you know, like, to be able to illustrate what a good family they are. Living proof that this is a good family because the children coming from it are good. So every good parent is very concerned like that. But Mother Yashoda, even though she was trying her best, and of course she's extremely qualified as a mother, but even though she was trying her best to look after Krishna and make sure he has what he needs, but somehow she was not able to satisfy this intense craving that he seemed to have for butter. So every day, like we explained, she would make butter, kilos, and just hand it over to Krishna and tell Krishna, look, there you go, it's all yours, eat it. Just eat it. But don't go elsewhere. Just eat this butter. And then she'd leave Krishna. He'd be eating away happily with both hands. And she'd come back in 10 minutes and Krishna was gone. He was out stealing butter. And Mother Yashoda developed a complex that my butter is not good enough. I am not good enough. I am failing as a mother. And you know, for a woman who takes being a mother seriously, to really fail as a mother and have your child come out as like some just delinquent, some, you know, living crisis, permanent chaos in the form of a person. For a mother, a serious mother, this is a real, you know, letdown. And beyond a letdown is devastation. And Mother showed that she was so much into this, into being a good mother. You know, she wasn't running off to the factory as soon as she could bring in a nanny and, get out to bring in the bucks to get more things from the supermarket, the hyper. No, she was dedicated to that. She was dedicated to being a good mother and trying to produce a good person, Krishna, at the end of the whole program. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that her concern was so great, that she was so concerned that Krishna would be a good person, and that she would be able to train him, and in this way he'd become a good person, that Mother Yashoda, she was always thinking, where's Krishna? What's Krishna doing? Is Krishna all right? What's he up to? Just constant meditation. Constant meditation. And she was so concerned, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, that if anything happened to Krishna, you know what it's like, children being children. Even if you really try and look after them and really keep an eye on them, but you can't always. And then every now and then your child, you find your child, just something happened. You know, your child fell over. Your child got into a fight. Or, you know, something like this, something fell on your child. And then, so this is for the sincerely concerned, dedicated mother, this is a serious problem if something happens to the child. So Mother Yashoda, she was so concerned, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, she would give her life 1,000 times if there was just one speck of dust on his forehead. Just a speck of dust, little grain of dirt. She was so concerned, is he all right? Is he tidy? Are his clothes in order? Or is something falling off? Something like that. Yeah. This is Mother Yashoda, very amazing mother. But despite all that, Krishna was going out and stealing the butter. And Mother Yashoda was thinking, I am failing as a mother. So it was, you know, a very heavy thing for her to go through. Extremely heavy to feel like that. That at this rate, you know, Krishna is 3. At this rate, by the time he is 21, oh boy, he is going to be mafia. She was really concerned. He's going to grow up and become a corner boy from Chatsworth. Unit 3, Unit 5, Unit 2, any unit, not really. So she was really concerned. He's going to become a corner boy and, you know, war. In those days, I think they had their caps, the baseball caps pointing to the side. At least I saw something like that. Now they have the baseball cap has to be pointing to the back. Keep the sun off the back of your head. So there's a science to it. It's not just stupidity. So Mother Yashoda, she really, but really, didn't want Krishna to grow up like that and become a misfit. You know what Srila Prabhupada's mother did? Anyway, you've probably heard Mother, Srila Prabhupada's mother, she was also, not that she's on the level perhaps of Nadi Yashoda, but she was also very, very dedicated mother. And she was also very, very, very concerned that maybe something would happen to Prabhupada, her little Abai, who was just also a little child at the time. So she decided, in a kind of superstitious way, she decided that she would do something strange, at least in terms of Vedic culture. She would eat with her left hand until Prabhupada, you know, at the time he's just preschool, actually, he's just an infant when she took this vow. But she took the vow, and she did it, that she ate with her left hand until he came to the point where he understood these things. And then he asked her, "Hey, Mata, why are you eating with your left hand? You know, we eat with our right hand. Why are you eating with your left hand?" So she took that vow. And she felt, the reason she took the vow was because she felt that if she did like this, then Prabhupada would at least live until that time without dying. Yeah. At least he would not die till then. This was her concern. Just living in a world of concern for her child. And finally, when Srila Prabhupada was actually, I forget exactly how old, but like several years old or something, then Prabhupada finally asked, several years later, he asked, "Mata, why are you eating with your left hand?" And immediately she started eating with her right hand again. So Mother Yashoda, she is the Supreme Mother. Actually, well, here, in the last verse we read, and in the purport of that verse, Prabhupada made the point that Mother Yashoda is the topmost of all devotees. No one got mercy like Mother Yashoda got. So we might say that, what about the gopis? What about Radharani? Didn't they get more mercy? Weren't they closer? Wasn't their relationship with Krishna deeper? And the answer to that question, of course, is yes, it's a fact. They are actually the topmost devotees, and they are even more advanced than Mother Yashoda. But the thing is, why this is said here in this way is because up until this point in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have not met the gopis. They have not been introduced yet. They have not appeared in the pages. So therefore, taking that into consideration, it is said, no one has ever received mercy like Nanda Yashoda, but until we meet the gopis. Yes, so Nanda Yashoda, serving Krishna in such wonderful ways. But then the milk was boiling over. And that milk was for Krishna. She was breastfeeding Krishna. But then the milk, which was also for Krishna, the milk in the pot on the stove, it began boiling over. And in that mood of wanting to please Krishna with that milk, she quickly acted and put Krishna down just like that. 1 second, he was drinking his mother's breast milk. Next second, he was on the ground, on his back, staring into space, and his mother was just gone. And it traumatized him, actually. It traumatized him. So she was doing that to please him, but still he became traumatized. So he threw a tantrum. You know, don't think, if you get Krishna as your child, don't think that he will just be goody good good and never do any naughty. Krishna also does naughty. We are not utopians in that sense. But, you know, life goes on with all sorts of things happening and people doing all sorts of things. Even in Goloka Vrindavan, there is not a dull moment at all. Yes, so Krishna threw a tantrum and started smashing things. And as we all know, Mother Yashoda then came back and Krishna had eaten as much butter as he could. He was feeding it now to the monkeys who had eaten as much butter as they could by now. So the monkeys were now refusing the butter, and Mother Yashoda came back in, and there was Krishna offering the butter to the monkeys, and the monkeys were refusing. And Krishna, you know, his whole attitude is one of being cross with his mother. He's angry with his mother in his childish way. So little Krishna said to Mother Yashoda, "Just see, your butter is so bad, even the monkeys are because somehow he sensed that she was sensitive about her butter. Their little children, they sometimes tune in much more than we expect. Yeah, so he had tuned in to that point, that she reacts. When it comes to butter, she becomes very sort of hyper about things. So, Mani showed up too upset. So then she chased him. But who can catch God? This point is being made here. That there are the renunciants. They give up this world to get God. But there, all they do is they just give up. They don't replace whatever they're giving up with something positive. It's all negative. We're just not going to do worldly things. But then what are you going to do? Well, we are just not going to do worldly things. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to do worldly things. So, they cannot approach Krishna. And the yogis, the jnanis, who study philosophy about spirit and matter and antimatter, and these, you know, technical considerations, but it's all mental. It's just some intellectual, psychological thing going on in their heads, but the rest of them is not engaged. So they also, for them it's very hard to approach Krishna. But for the devotees, even Mother Yashoda, she is not some big philosopher, intellectual, big brain box. She's a housewife, just cleaning and cooking and doing this and that. And she is not some type of staunch, renunciate, austere person, cutting down on eating, cutting down on sleeping. counting how many mouthfuls I'm allowed, 10 mouthfuls a day. That is it. No, she's not like that. She is, in a certain sense, a simple person, village girl. She was always in the village. She was never in the city with all the sophistication and education even. She just learnt at home from her mother how to cook. You know, Lindy, I was discussing with some village people a few days ago that how do you test if you want your son, at least if you think you might want your son to marry a certain girl, how do you test? And the first thing this fellow said, and he's like a staunch bridge fussy hard case farmer, he said, she must make achar. She must make achar, different achar, different pickle. Then we will see what she's like. If she can make good achar, then we will consider. She can't make good achar, this corner. You know, some of these girls, they only learn to cook once they're married. Picking the poor husband. Yes. So anyway, how do you show that? She's so great. She was chasing Krishna. But who can catch Krishna? Even Lord Brahma says in Brahma Samhita, you want to catch Krishna in your hand? Run after him, grab him, hold him like that, and control him like that. Well, Lord Brahma says, even if you travel at the speed of the mind for millions of years, you will not even get a little closer to Krishna than you are now. Even you run at the speed of the mind for millions of years. Speed of the mind means we are here in Pretoria. But this morning, some hours ago, I was in Dubai. Now I'm thinking of Dubai. So I'm there. That is the speed of the mind. Then I was in Vrindavan. Now I'm there. That's the speed of the mind. You can travel thousands of miles. What to speak of around the world in 80 days? You can go around the world in 8 seconds. Quick stop in London, New York, Los Angeles, Singapore, Vrindavan. Then go back around the world in a few seconds. But Lord Brahma says, even if you travel at that speed for millions of years, you get no closer to Krishna. So how is Mother Yashoda? And she, not that she is some athlete going to the virgin active. She's not doing that. She's a mother, housewife, still heavily built mother. Mature woman. So how is she going to catch Krishna? But she caught him. He couldn't stop her. So that is because he is Vrityavashita. He becomes controlled by the love of his devotees. So as her love increased, that mood of concern, I have to do this. It just overflowed and it drowned Krishna. It overpowered Krishna and she caught Krishna. Then of course, as we know, she tried to tie him, but the rope was 2 fingers too short. So she added more rope and more and more and so on until she had lots of rope, just loads of rope. But it was still two fingers too short. Very extraordinary. She couldn't figure it out. And then the same thing happened again. Then her mood of motherly concern just got more and more until it just overflowed. And Krishna again became drowned. And then even if she had 1 centimeter of rope, it would have been enough. Even if she just had like nothing, it would have been enough. She would have been able to tie Krishna, because it wasn't the rope. As you know, well, we're going to sing the song, and as you know, probably, in one of the verses it says that Krishna, who is tied not by rope, but by the love of his devotee. Yeah. So like this, she was able to tie him. But then, of course, then she went away again, and he crawled off, and he pulled that grinding mortar. It was a conspiracy between him and the grinding mortar. He dragged that grinding mortar between those two trees and knocked them down. And out came those demigods who had been cursed by Narada. So he liberated them. And he told them, at the end of this life, you can go back to God. Back home, back to God. And until the end of this life, you go back to your demigod place in the heavenly kingdom, and you live happily there as devotee demigods. And then at the end of this life, you go back to Godhead. That's it. So, he liberated them. He delivered them from their entanglement in this material world, from the knots of their karma, from the ropes, the gunas. The ropes, guna also means rope. The gunas, the modes of material nature, the ropes of material nature, which had people tied up in this world, those ropes which controlled by the demigods, by Lord Brahma and Durga and Lord Shiva, they're controlling those ropes. But Krishna liberated them back home, back to Godhead, just like that. So then, those demigods, Nalakuma and Manigriva, they thanked Krishna. And then they noticed they were about to leave, and they thought, wait a minute, Krishna has been so kind to us. Surely we should do something for him. We should reciprocate. We have to do something to express our gratitude. Then what did they notice? They noticed that Krishna was tied up. So they thought, well, the least we can do is untie him. So they tried, but they couldn't untie him. They tried and tried, they couldn't. So they left. So just see. Well, later various other people came, they tried to untie those ropes, they couldn't. It was only finally Mother Yashoda came back, and she was able to untie Krishna. So just see how powerful Mother Yashoda is. That Krishna, he was able to liberate those demigods from their bondage in this material world. But that same Krishna could not, at the same time, he could not escape from the bondage of those ropes of Mother Yashoda. So how powerful is Mother Yashoda? She's in a different category, far beyond Lord Brahma, far beyond Lord Shiva and all his people. She is very great, very great personality. So like this, the pastime unfolded, and we were there just 48 hours ago. It's amazing. And now we're here.
Yeah.
From equilibrium. From the sublime to the, well, not true.
Yeah.
It's your old thing. So it's the same, really. It's the same, in a certain sense. And there we were, at Brahmandikat. That was the last place we were.
Just move this.
That was the last place we were, was Brahmandikat, just when we left. The parikrama, Brahmandikat. That's where Krishna was accused of eating dirt. Balaram became a little, you know, in the childhood, playing and back and forth and this and that. Then sometimes the children squabble and bicker and fight a little bit. So this was happening. And Balaram was feeling a little upset with Krishna, so he told his friends, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get Krishna into trouble. I'm going to go and tell Mother Yashoda he was eating dirt. And when I tell that, you come with me. When I tell her, then you confirm it. Yes, yes, we saw it. We saw it also. Yes, very bad. So Balaram went and told Mother Yashoda, oh, Mother, you know what Krishna did? Oh, very bad. That was enough. Mother Yashoda's mind was now racing. What's Krishna doing? What's happening? What's going on? So she asked him, what did he do? What did he do? And Balaram said, Krishna ate dirt. I saw it. And they saw it also, right? And the other boy said, oh, right, right. Yes, yes, right. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, I don't know if you even watched it, but in our Meltdown DVD at the village called Siha, then we video two boys, and you know, they're the sort of boys who, when you video them, they sort of stand to attention, like, you know, it really matters. We don't be on our best behavior. So this one boy's like this. The other boy's sort of, you know, and so the first boy, looking straight at the camera, you see, he nudges the other boy. Doesn't look at him, but he nudges him. And the other boy looks at him. Yeah, what? Classic. So the other boys, they chimed in. Yeah, we saw with our own eyes. So then, Mother Yashoda went to Krishna. And Balaram and the boys were just behind. And Mother Yashoda said, Krishna, did you eat dirt? Krishna said, me? Who, me? You mean me? This one? You wouldn't eat dirt. No, of course not. Then Balaram said, yeah, don't believe him. He's lying. I saw him. They all saw him. Right? Right! Right! And Balaram said, and I am the older brother. So you have to accept what I say. Because older brothers,
very important position. So Manishoda, then she looked in Krishna's mouth to see if there are any scraps or any dirt still there. But there was no dirt at all. But then what did she see? She saw the whole universe. Amazing. Planets and stars. And there she saw Krishna and a cow inside Krishna's mouth. And then she saw herself. Oh, very amazing. And momentarily, her motherly mood was interrupted. And momentarily, she remembered what all the people had said before, that Garga Muni had said that maybe he's a demigod. Maybe he's even Narayan. And other people, when Krishna had done superhuman things, killed some massive demon, then people said, hey, you remember what Garga Muni said? Maybe it's true. Maybe he is Narayan. This idea came into Mother Yashoda's mind momentarily. But then she started looking in Krishna's beautiful little child eyes, with a beautiful little child smile and sparkling little twinkling eyes. And she just became absorbed in that. And her motherly mood came back again, and she forgot about the universe and all these things. So that happened at Brahmandagast. In fact, Brahmanda means universe. It's a long story, we can explain more about it some other time. But you know what did happen though? Was that when Balaram could see that Mother Yashoda, her mood had changed, and now she was not in that mood of, what are you doing, Krishna? But she was sort of swooning in a loving, affectionate mood, Balaram could see, we have been defeated here. But Balaram would not give up. So he interjected, Mata, wait a minute. Look, we saw him eat dirt. Right? So I insist, that's just the way it is. You have to sort him out. You have to straighten him out. Tell him a thing or two. Somebody showed a little bewildered. And Balaram said, you know what we must do? We must have a court case. You be the judge. I will be the prosecutor. Krishna can defend himself. And we will see what the truth is. And don't forget I'm the older. So they had a court case. And Krishna was found guilty of eating dirt. And the grinding mortar was also found guilty. Oh, but anyway, that was something else. But Krishna was found guilty of eating dirt. Yes. So like this, we were in these places, and it's all very nice. Very, very nice. And today is the last day, second to last day of Kartik. So, if you've taken a Kartik Vrata, Damodar Vrata, try and bring it now, today and tomorrow. Bring it to its conclusion, to its peak. And even if you haven't, if you've just been offering candles and so on like that, and then just know this is very special time where the fact that Krishna is Vritya Vashyata, controlled by the love of his devotees,
very special time where this particular point is brought out so vividly and focused on so vividly, and then we can carry it with us after this month is finished. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Now we have a few questions. Let's have a look at
when a deity cracks or falls from the altar, what is the significance of that?
Well,
sort of change of subject, isn't it? But anyway, you know, generally it doesn't happen. But if it does happen, at least in an esoteric sense, it is often taken to mean that the deity is not being cared for properly by whoever the devotees are there who are meant to be looking after the deity. If Krishna is not being worshipped properly, then he may leave. And that leaving can manifest in different ways, including the deity falling and breaking like that. Just like with Tulsi. If Tulsi dies, then you know, in an esoteric sense, it can be interpreted, possibly, that she was not being cared for with sufficient devotion. At least sometimes devotees feel like that. Yeah. Why are the last 5 days the most auspicious in Kartik? Well, I know the last 5 days are the Vishnu Panchaka. I don't know the whole story behind it. But they say, if you, what? Only take fruit, isn't it? For those 5 days? And don't eat anything else? Or maybe, I think there are two levels. One is you can just not eat anything. Just live on air. The other is you can just eat fruit once a day. And if you do like that, you get some special mercy. Or so they say. Of course, you know, give us a chance. Now, we're already 3 days that have passed. That's a bit late. But I suppose we're going to hop on the bandwagon for the night. Couple of days and do something drastic, get some special mercy. But all these things of self-denial and all that, they're only beneficial if they facilitate your increasing your Krishna conscious activity. Just, you know, to eat fruit for the sake of eating fruit as opposed to regular prasadam is not going to really help you unless through doing that you increase your Krishna conscious activities or your focus on Krishna. Then it's okay. Like Pandamene Jala Ekadasi. If through following it strictly you can increase your chanting and your absorption in Krishna consciousness, that's good. But if, you know, you just go to work and you're feeling so hungry and you're feeling disturbed because you're so hungry, and it's just, you're just meditating, you know, 1 minute past midnight, what are we going to eat? We'll make the menu up and go to the supermarket. Then, you know, that's not the idea. We hear of Yashoda Damodar during Karatik. We also sing Radha Damodar. What about this? Well, Radha Damodar, that's a different pastime. It's a pastime where Radha and Krishna were married in play. There's a village called Gantuli. It's still there. just to the west of Govardhan Hill. And in Gantuli, Ganta means knot. So there, Radha and Krishna were married. In play, childhood play, by Lalita and the other gopis. So their cloth was tied in a knot. This is the one thing which is done in Vedic wedding ceremonies. So they were tied together for some time like that. So this is Radha Damodar. Radha and Krishna who were tied together. This is Radha Damodar. It is said that when you watch someone getting the lamps ready for Damodar else to come, you will be liberated. Is this guaranteed? 8 so 8%. It is said. Now who said? They said, then, the notorious then, they said that this is going to happen. So the notorious then said it, whoever they are. I don't know, if you give us some reference, we could check into it. But I've not heard that. But if you offer the lamp every night, and chant 16 rounds every day and follow the four regulative principles every day and do devotional service every day and don't fall into maya, then it's guaranteed. Exo art percent. Don't worry. But watching them get the lamps ready, sort of staring at them. Well, nice. You could always help them get how many times in the month of Kartik is one's karma multiplied? I never seem to get an answer that is common. Some say 100, some say 1,000, some say 100,000. Well, you know, first thing is it is not mechanical. It's not mechanical, like, you know, robotic, like press a button. That, you know, you press the button one time and out comes like a bottle of water or something, right, at the vending machine. But then they set the machine in a different way. You press the button one time, out comes two bottles of water. It's just, you know, the machine was set differently. Or maybe you press the same button, put your money in, press the same button, out comes no bottle of water, and you lose your money. It's just the setting of the machine. So Krishna consciousness is never quite that simple, or not simple, but mechanical. Although it is said, I've generally heard it said that 1,000 times. But what Srila Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada said that Kartik Damodar month means Krishna is having a sale. Just like some shop owner, every day he's selling his goods, same price. Someday he decides, right, I'm going to have a sale. He reduces the prices. Now you get the same things for less. There is no law that the shopkeeper must lower the price on a certain date until a certain date by a certain amount. There is no law. It is simply up to him. So with Krishna, it is up to Krishna. But the basic idea is that in this matter, Krishna is especially merciful. To celebrate this amazing pastime, to celebrate this whole point of Vritya Vashyata, how he is controlled by the love of his devotees. So, with all of this in mind, Krishna is especially merciful. And therefore, whatever you do, you'll get extra benefit, for sure. But it doesn't mean that, you know, if you chant 16 rounds, that means 16 times 108 is, I think, 1,728 times we chant the mantra. Doesn't mean that now you only need to chant the mantra 1.728 times, and that is now equal to 16 rounds because we multiplied it by 1,000. You still got to chant 16 rounds, and if you don't, if you get, you know, funny, naughty, devious, then you'll get into Maya just as much you'll get into Maya as you would any other time. Yeah.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Shri Dhamma Dhamma Ki. Shri Shri Radha Dhamma Ki. Shri Shri Nishoda Dhamma Ki. Hare Krishna.
Jai Dhamma Ki.